Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is 107 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, and Dan Cook with you. Senatorial candidate for the Republican Party, Jason Lewis, is kind enough to join us. He is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Services Plus hotline. Jason, thanks for coming on, sir.
Hey, you bet, John. Good to be here.
Here is your tweet from yesterday, one of your tweets. Some are unfortunately betraying fighting a virus and getting Americans back to work as a binary choice. It is not. That's why I'm calling for Minnesota to start reopening for business for all but the most vulnerable of its residents on Monday. How did you arrive on the day of Monday?
That's when the federal government 15-day guideline expires. Now, those are just guidelines, and that's the way it ought to be. We don't have martial law in America, nor should the federal government be dictating these things. It needs to be left to governors and local governments as much as possible. So once those deadlines expire, then naturally it goes back to, as it's always been, as I say, to governors to decide what phase two should look like. And I think phase two is going to look like something different in Minnesota and South Dakota and Iowa than it's certainly going to look like in New York or L.A. or Washington. We have to protect the most vulnerable. I think we need to continue with that. But I think if you listen to Dr. Birx and the other medical professionals who are now saying the morbidity rates are being driven by elderly people with existing pre-existing conditions, we've got to start opening up the economy because you cannot fight this virus going through a depression. And we are running up against a very, very dangerous timetable if we continue this economic damage.
Governor Walz, and I think your tweet was before Governor Walz when it came out initially 2 and then later 3. Yeah. He cited data from the University of Minnesota in backing up his stay at home order. He said it's going to kick in on Friday night. He said for the schools that will continue at least to May 4th. He said for bars and restaurants that will continue through May 1st. And he is using data from the University of Minnesota. Isn't that the better way to go by the governors to rely on the medical experts and use the data?
Well, I am relying on the medical experts, and you're getting epidemiologists now from Stanford, Harvard, also Yale. In fact, Dr. David Katz wrote an interesting piece in the New York Times not long ago saying we may be going about this the wrong way. But the differences aren't that great when you consider that in my suggestions, I think we defer back to local school districts on the Monday after Easter, which would be about April 13th, to decide whether Beltrami County should have their kids still stay at home. And by the way, Dr. Katz says that may have been a mistake. He's an epidemiologist because now the young kids at home with the elderly who are most vulnerable are being in contact with those folks. But I think you've got to have a different approach for a different part of the country. And this sort of one-size-fits-all approach where you have federal edicts or state centralized edicts, I don't think is doable over the long term. Now, remember, these guidelines, many of them came out as well before Dr. Fauci and others said, look, it doesn't matter when you start to relax some of these restrictions, we're going to have, quote unquote, a second round. So if the position is, Chad, that we've got to wait, and no epidemiologist says this, of course, but if the position is you've got to wait until the last carrier of the virus is gone, we will be shut down for months, if not years. Everyone understands
that. But nobody's saying that, as you said.
No, right. Everyone understands that's not possible. So the question becomes, what date should you start to relax?
Okay, so let me push on that, because Dr. Katz, he was quoted in the Tom Friedman column. We had Tom Friedman on the other day, and he raised a way to move through this. Dr. Michael Ostrom was on the show on Monday. Same thing. Dr. Scott Jensen. All of them, though, are citing data. When the president, as an example, is saying April 13th, tied to Easter, and he was specifically asked why he picked that date, and he talked about the symbolism, and why that makes sense. This isn't about symbolism, Jason. This is about the combination of the economy and protecting, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars and people's health. This shouldn't be based on symbolism.
Well, no, nobody's talking about that. And the president said when he announced that date, Chad, that A, it was aspirational, but B, it's going to be different for different parts of the country. It's going to be different.
When he was pushed on questions, he said that, Jason. Initially, he said it was just that it was a great time and it made sense to me.
Well, are you saying it would not be the best idea to get people back to work the earliest date we can?
Yeah, but based on what Dr. Fauci and experts are saying, not because Easter is such an important day, and it is to tens of millions of people.
That's true. And as Dr. Blick said, quote, the mortality rate is driven almost exclusively, as we have talked about, by pre-existing conditions. You've got Dr. a virologist from, it wasn't Stanford, I'm trying to think of the place it was from, but it was a doctor who said recently that they're lowering their not mortality rate, but exposure rate from 40 to 80% to 20 to 60%. So the epidemiologists have failed to converge. If we could have perfect information, all of these people you just cited would have predicted this in January, would they not have?
Well, I don't think that is an exact science. I don't think anybody can do that. But let's speak of January.
That's right. We are dealing with imperfect information. So at some point, we're going to have to make a decision on imperfect information.
I want that driven by the doctors, though. That's who I want it driven by.
So I just quoted a doctor.
Yeah. So let's talk about January.
Three of them.
Let's talk about January. The president, rightfully so, gets credit, and he was criticized by many on the left, including many doctors, for shutting down the border from China. But don't you think there's plenty of evidence from many of his comments and many policy positions that the president and the federal government were late to protecting citizens from COVID-19?
No, the people that are criticizing the president, by the way, his approval ratings are going up in this, and members of the press approval ratings are sinking to the bottom, if that's possible, because they're looking to divide America, just like holding up a relief package for a week, as Tina Smith did, unconscionably, to throw in extraneous items. But the president is simply doing, and when he halted the travel ban, you got criticized by the same people now criticizing him for not doing enough. That makes no sense at all.
So let me cite one date as an example. February 26th, the president says we have only 15 people who have the virus. It's about to go to zero very soon. We have this completely under control. That was a lie.
I would argue that the United States is probably in a better position than certainly other parts of the world, including Italy. There's no question about that. But again, I think those criticisms are fair, Chad. But the people you just cited a moment ago to justify a lockdown, a shelter in place in Minnesota, were nowhere near to be found. In fact, if they were heard in January, they were saying, don't overblow the Chinese virus. We can't bash China. Same people you're quoting now.
Some of them.
So if you want to play that game, that you know, we're going to go back and look at what people said in December and January and February for the president, you better take the same look at those people now calling for an indeterminate amount of time, denying Minnesotans the right to earn a living.
So
the bottom line is this. I trust Minnesotans to do the right thing. And they will do the right thing as we move to a phase two. But you cannot possibly win this battle going into the second Great Depression. What don't people understand about that?
Jason Lewis is with us.
Hold on. just had a $6 trillion stimulus plan. We have no idea how we're going to pay for it. I would have supported that. But that is covering the damage that's already been done. If you keep Minnesotans away from putting food on the table for another 2 months, you're going to have another one of those, another two of those. That is unsustainable for all but the most partisan of people.
Okay, but no one has said 2 months so far. You just said 2 months. I get it that this is an extraordinarily difficult challenge for any president. Barack Obama, George Washington, you name it. But if we're just going to leave it up to everyday citizens to make that decision, we have to then acknowledge that more people would be in harm's way. So let me ask you a couple comments that were made recently. The lieutenant governor from Texas, Dan Patrick, said he thinks incumbent upon folks 70 and older that they have to accept the risk of harm to themselves by getting the economy back. Glenn Beck, longtime successful talk show host, I'm sure on some points you agree with Beck. Beck says he's willing to die instead of the country dying. Is it that sort of choice? Is that the rhetoric we want to hear from people saying that people should die to get the economy moving?
No, I think we need to protect the vulnerable. That's what I said in my press release. That indeed, we have to keep protecting people who are over the age of 60 and have pre-existing conditions. But this one-size-fits-all approach for the young, who we know are at much, much lower risk, and some epidemiologists say lower than the flu, keeping them away from earning a living, what sense does that make, Chad?
Well, I don't think it makes sense. There's a couple interesting stories, too, about immunities that people are building up when they're younger and out and about. But here are some of the challenges with that, Jason, because I don't want to see the economy come to a screeching halt. And I think we can have an honest conversation about this. But many of those folks who are in their 20s, 30s and 40s are still either directly or indirectly going to associate themselves with people who have some vulnerability, who are older, and that it sounds good in theory to get the economy going. Who would be against that? But how do we continue the social distancing, which clearly has had some level of a positive effect?
You ask people. Any phase two is going to rely on the voluntary measures of good Minnesotans and good Americans. Maybe I just have more faith in people than you and the rest of the people calling for an indeterminate shutdown. But the bottom line is you can't continue to do this in perpetuity. And there's got to be a date based
Nobody's
on
saying in perpetuity,
information.
Jason.
And I'm saying that holding off to let local school districts in greater Minnesota decide what's best until May 1st. It's overdone. Let me put it that way. And I will say this, David Katz, that doctor that wrote in the New York Times article we've been talking about, said we may, doesn't know for certain because we don't have perfect information, we may have made a mistake sheltering in place because the very people you're talking about, the young people, then went home and gave it to grandma and grandpa.
Yep, that's true.
So there's lots of different views on this. You're never going to come to an absolute conclusion that says, oh, this is absolutely right. But I'll tell you one thing that might help. All of the people clamoring the loudest for shelters in place and economic lockdowns who are still working because it doesn't affect them, politicians, members of the media, they ought to give up their check, just like the rest of Minnesota. Donate them.
So in other words, anybody who's still allowed to work should, and how is that going to help the economy, by the way?
Well, it's going to help people who are going on unemployment, isn't it? It seems to me the height of arrogance to say, if you're collecting a check and you're not affected by this, that you're telling other people they can't work. You know what?
No, you can also do that, Jason, and be wary of thousands and thousands of more people dying.
And nobody's suggesting that thousands and thousands of more people ought to die. Who's saying that?
No, but if you're saying that we should keep social distancing and some stay-at-home orders in place, the reason why you're doing that is protecting individuals so the mortality rate does not go higher and we flatten that curve out. And so if people are allowed to still work, they should be allowed to still have their opinion about the stay-at-home order.
And what date? So apparently you've got better information than I do. What date are we going to flatten that curve?
Well, I have had better data than you for about 30 years, but that's just an aside. I want to see where we're at.
You know,
I'm starting
to believe you absolutely have to fail a lie detector test to be a member of the press anymore.
Let's see where we're at in two more weeks. Because I don't think the economy in any way should stop for 6 months or 3 months. But I think when we're looking at state data, federal data, and we look at where we're at, let's say around Easter, let's hear from Fauci and those guys. But to say it's ready to open Monday, to me, seems way too soon.
No. I'm saying it's not, you don't go, you know, pedal to the metal on Monday. I'm saying phase two, where you protect the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions. The school districts can wait and determine on that Monday after Easter what's best for their individual district. But you've got to pivot now. You cannot continue this. You know, the social and healthcare costs. And there's a great article today about the massive retailers. Now, these aren't small businesses, Chad. Mm-hmm. These are large retailers.
Right.
Gap. Guess how much cash on hand they have to last? How many more days?
Uncertain.
30 days.
Yep.
30 days. So that means when 30 days are up and they're done, they're not coming back. The social and healthcare carnage that we're going to impose on this economy if we continue this much longer is going to dwarf the present crisis. If you go back to 2007 and 2008, Lancet, the medical journal, said there were 5,000 extra suicides because of the depression. When people lose their job, they go bankruptcy, they get hooked on alcohol, they get hooked on opioids. Depression is not good for health.
No doubt. Let me just finish this, because you know I got to jump in. I'm already way late. So right now, if you were Governor Walz, what you want the governor to say as of this Monday, you want to leave it up to local municipalities and businesses to make this decision.
Yeah, primarily, I would like to see some of these rules start to be relaxed for the young and the healthy so they can earn a living. But I would designate all rural hospitals as critical access hospitals. That means they get invested on the cost, not per person. I would make certain that anybody who wants these anti-malaria drugs, chloroquine and Z-Pak, get them, not just people in a trial. And I would demand that all colleges and universities rebate all parents and students while they are out. They can't charge them for room and board when they're not there. Those are the three things I would have done if I were the governor.
I got to go. Thanks for the dialogue. Appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.